This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime, brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com and made possible by you, the listeners. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep them coming every week, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on that donate link when you're on the website. Your support makes it all possible. Now, for this week, we'll begin with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the oldest gag matter, his story from August 12, 1962. After that, it's Danger with Granger and the Rainy Night Murder, story from him that first aired in 1956.
Johnny Dollar.
Dollar? This is Larry Spangler. Hi.
Spangler, did you say?
That's right. Star Mutual Insurance Company.
Oh, I see.
I guess we've never met because I've only been here in Hartford about a year.
Oh, well, what can I do for you, Mr. Spangler?
Mr. Spangler?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't make an old man out of me. Call me Larry.
Whatever you say. What can I do for you, Larry?
Johnny, does the name Briscombe mean anything to you?
Lloyd Briscombe? Runs some kind of a factory on the edge of town, doesn't he?
Yeah, he and his partner. Do you know him?
No, but I've heard of him. Why?
Well, he's one of my clients, pretty important one. I'm on my way out to his place now. I'll be driving right by your apartment. I thought it might be a good idea to have you come along with me.
Anything wrong with him?
His business partner just called me up on the telephone. Mr. Briscombe is dead.
Oh, that's too bad.
Sure is. You see, his housekeeper found him just a few minutes ago with a bullet in his head.
CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Star Mutual Insurance Company Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the oldest gag matter. Larry Spangler turned out to be one of the new generation of insurance agents with that Madison Avenue touch. You know, charcoal gray suit, white shirt, dark blue tie, well-shined shoes. And he had that freshly scrubbed look, as though he'd just stepped out of a barber shop. He was maybe 25 or 6, good-looking in an almost pretty sort of way, with well-tanned complexion, plenty of dark, curly hair, and above all, that eager expression of the young man who's out to set the world on fire.
Yeah, the Briscombe place is down on Live Oak Avenue, Johnny. I'm south of Hereaways.
You're the driver.
I'm certainly glad you were able to come along.
Any idea who might have wanted to kill Mr. Briscombe and why?
Oh, I have plenty of ideas. But why don't we see what the police have to say when we get there?
Hmm? Oh, then you've called them, hmm?
John Barber, the old man's business partner, called him, same time as he called me.
I see.
At least, he said he did.
Well, any reason why he shouldn't have?
Do you know John Barber?
Never heard of him.
Well, at least you'll be starting on him fresh, then. I mean, no preconceived idea about him.
Why do you say that? Don't tell me you suspect him of this.
Oh, no, 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 no. Of course not. No reason at all. It's just that... Well, why don't we see just what's happened before jumping to any conclusion?
Look, Larry.
And see what you think of the others, too. That is, if Barbara got a hold of them.
What others?
Well, there's Trudy as ward.
Trudy?
Gertrude Wilson. But there's certainly no reason to suspect her of anything. You try it, Johnny, and you'll have me to answer to.
Oh, is that way? Hmm?
Well, we're real good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I know her well enough to know that... Well, it'd be ridiculous, that's all.
Would it?
Sure. And as for Mike, though, well, who am I to judge in a case like this? Let's wait and see what you think.
Mike who?
Briscombe.
How's he related?
Well, he's the old man's son, or rather adopted son.
He lived with Mr. Briscombe?
No, not with him, Johnny, but certainly off of him. The way I get it, the old man threw him out on his own a few years back, but then apparently relented enough to keep feeding him plenty of good, cold, hard cash to play around with.
Wait a minute now. Didn't I see Mike Briscombe's name in the papers not too long ago?
Yeah, maybe it was just after that big nightclub ruckus at the Purple Jive when a bunch of drunks kind of wrecked the joint.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, but now wait, Johnny. Nobody actually saw Mike there that night. And just because of his, well, his reputation is no proof that he was. I mean, after all, Johnny, why hang the guy unless you're sure he deserves it?
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to have been treading the straight and narrow lately. Even got himself some kind of a job, I understand. So I really have no reason to... Well, you see for yourself.
Tell me, did Briscombe have a wife?
She died 8 or 10 years ago.
Who benefits by his death?
Well, if his will comes out the same way as the insurance, Mike gets 1/3 of everything and Trudy gets 2/3.
I see.
Except for the business, of course. That'll go to his partner, John Barber.
Oh, it will?
At least that's what Barber told me one day when I tried to sell him some insurance. But surely you don't think... Only what am I sweating over it for? You're the investigator, and it's... Well, it's all just sort of guesswork on my part anyhow. Why should I confuse you?
Confuse me?
Sure.
Larry, you may have been more help than you realize.
In charge at the Briscombe place was Sergeant Danny Gilbert, not the homicide man I'd have picked for a case like this. He was always a bit too sure of his usually wrong spot judgment. He sent Larry into the living room, where a sad-eyed but good-looking girl sat quietly talking to a couple of men, then led me directly into the study where Briscombe's body had been discovered earlier by the housekeeper.
That's old Mrs. Haskell, though. After I got all I could from her, I sent her up to her room to weep and wail it out all by herself. She was only in the way.
I see.
Well, there's the stiff, just the way she found him. Only, don't you touch anything until the doc gets here.
The body was slumped forward over a big mahogany desk. The right hand, with obvious powder burns on it, still held the old battered .38 that apparently had done the job. There were powder burns in the forehead, too, where the bullet had entered at close range. There was no sign of a struggle or of anything in the room having been disturbed.
Body's all so stiffened up, I figure it happened sometime late last night.
Yes, very possibly. Who was here in the house with him?
Only the housekeeper.
You sure of that?
That's what she says, Darla. I've got no reason to doubt her.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't hear the shot?
Her room is away up on the third floor, and besides, she's kind of deaf.
Well, from the looks of things around here, Sergeant...
Sure, Donna, it's obvious. Plain as the nose in your face. The old man committed suicide.
Did he?
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Well, I do. I'm betting the lab crew and the medical back me up. I've seen too many of these things not to know the signs.
What kind of signs?
Briscombe's business hasn't been doing too well lately.
Hasn't it?
Certainly hasn't. Ask his partner out there, Mr. Barber.
Yes, I will.
And he's had that worthless kid Mike on his hands. And even that water, his Trudy Wilson's been a worry to him ever since she stopped living here with him.
And that's proof that he committed suicide.
It's good enough for me.
Well, Sergeant, don't bank on it. I doubted it, in spite of the fact that it was clearly indicated. But all I had to go on was what Larry Spangler had told me. And when Dr. Thaddeus Frambler and his lab crew got through, it looked as though I was wrong. They could find absolutely nothing to suggest anything but suicide. The only fingerprints on the beat-up old revolver, Briscombe's gun that he'd had in his desk for years, the only prints on it were his own. The angle of the shot, its proximity as indicated by the powder burns, the burns on his hand still holding the gun, all showed that it must have been his finger that pulled the trigger. But maybe... maybe with a little help from someone else.
Dollar, that's a suspicious mind of yours.
Sergeant, what about the fact that the gun was still in his hand?
Doesn't mean a thing.
Well, wouldn't he have dropped it to the desk or to the floor when he died?
Not if the bullet hit some part of his brain that caused a final spasm, made him tighten up. Ask the doc here, Dollar. Go ahead, ask him, will you?
All right, Sergeant. Doc, the law says you have to do an autopsy in a case like this. I'd like to know the results of it.
It's all right by me, Doc. He can tell him anything he wants to know as far as I'm concerned. But it isn't going to make any difference.
We'll see.
And, Dollar, you'll only be wasting your time talking to those people out there in the living room. Young Miss Trudy, that Mike Briscoe, and Mr. Barber.
Well, maybe, Sergeant, but I'd like to talk with them anyway and separately, if you have no objections.
Oh, Dollar, that suspicious mind of yours.
You said it.
Suicide? Oh, no, Mr. Dollar. I'll never believe that. Daddy simply wasn't the type to commit suicide. Never.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it true that he was kind of worried about you, Trudy?
Because of the way I left and moved away from here to get along on my own. He didn't like it, if that's what you mean.
Why did you leave him? I understand he was very good to you.
I know, and it may have seemed ungrateful. Because he and his wife took me in when I was just a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
They fed me, they clothed me, gave me an education. And after Mother died, he even sent me to college. But he was such a tyrant. He wouldn't ever let me think for myself, do the things I wanted to do, go with the people I wanted to go with. He insisted on running my whole life. Even the man that I want to marry wasn't allowed in the house.
I see.
When Daddy had business with him, he went to see him at his office.
Trudy.
I'm not a child anymore, Mr. Dollar. I have a mind of my own.
Oh, I can see that.
I felt I had a right to use it to do the things I want to do. And I've done very well, thank you. Even he had to admit it and stop harping about the way I broke his heart by leaving him.
You don't seem too upset over his death, Trudy. Well?
No. No, I'm not.
Because of the fortune that'll be coming your way now?
Yes, partly. It'll make me free, independent. I can marry the only man I've ever wanted to marry, do exactly as I please, without this stubborn old man breathing down my neck all the time.
Trudy, you realize, don't you, that if he didn't commit suicide...
Of course he didn't.
...that a statement like that might point the finger of suspicion at you as a possible murderer?
Would you rather that I'd lied to you, Mr. Dollar?
Suicide? A strong-minded, stubborn old codger like Frank Briscoe? Never, Mr. Dollar, never.
You seem pretty sure of that, Mr. Barber.
Well, I've reason to. If you'd been in business with him for nearly 10 years, as I have, you'd know it couldn't have been suicide, too.
Even the worries about your business?
He had no worries about it, not really, Mr. Dollar. Don't you know how much Frank was worth? Nearly $1 million. I mean, of his own. Sure, the business hasn't done very well lately, but that's because of him.
What do you mean by that?
That stubbornness of his over his out-of-date, old-fashioned methods, his refusal to let me put in new, efficient equipment, inaugurate new procedures that could have made a fortune, that could have put me on easy street, too. Believe me, things will be different now.
Now that he's conveniently out of the way and you'll have the business alone?
Yes. Yes, it's right, Mr. Dollar.
In other words, then, Mr. Barber, if it wasn't suicide...
And I'm certain it wasn't.
You've shown a pretty good motive for killing him yourself, haven't you?
Oh, no, just a... That's ridiculous, but I suppose I have now, haven't I?
You certainly have.
Would you rather that I tried to deceive you about my feelings in this whole matter?
What do you want me to do, Dollar? Try and put on an act?
Then you're not at all sorry, Mike.
Why should I be? After all, he was no blood kin to me any more than he was to Trudy or her to me.
So I understand.
So I'm not one bit sorry the old man's gone. There's been a lot of times I wished I could have kind of helped him on his way.
In spite of the fact that he was pretty good to you over the years?
He's doing a lot better for me right now, Dollar, than he ever did before.
You mean the money you'll inherit?
Sure. A third of his money, one third of all that nice insurance. All in one nice big hunk.
No insurance if it was suicide, Mike.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Dollar.
Well?
Did you know the old man?
No, I didn't.
Well, if you had, you'd know perfectly well he'd never knock himself off. I don't care what that crazy cop says.
You don't think so?
I know he wouldn't. And another thing.
Yeah?
He took on a lot of religion the last couple of years. Took it real serious.
Oh?
I guess that's why he kind of got charitable and started giving me some dough now and again. And to him, the worst sin he could do would be either to kill anybody or to take his own life. In fact, Dollar, he bored me with a lecture on, on that subject more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd known him, you'd know he was dead serious in that religion stuff.
You said that you considered helping him on his way.
Why, said I kind of wished I could is all. That's all I said. And all that, and then I'm glad he's gone, yeah.
Any idea who might have done it, Mike? Besides you?
Almost anybody might have done it. I mean, that would have got something out of it.
Like who?
Well, how about Barber, that gets the business now? What about Trudy?
You really think so?
I don't know. I can't see either of them actually doing it. You know, my only gripe, Dollar.
What's that?
Trudy gets 2/3. I only get 1/3. Now, maybe if I was smart and I wasn't so lazy, I'd make a big play for her, you know? After all, we're not real relatives, so I'd marry her and then, I'd have my hands on it all. But I guess I'd never get her away from that guy she's going with.
Larry Spangler.
I'll do all right anyway. My share of all that dough, even without the insurance, is good enough for me. And you know how much that's going to amount to, Dollar?
Enough to kill him for, Mike?
Sure. Absolutely. But I didn't do it. And Dollar, he didn't commit suicide.
I'm beginning to think maybe you're right about that.
About no suicide?
Yes.
But I didn't kill him.
Somebody did.
If you ever suffer a touch of arthritis or rheumatism and you've never tried Mentholatum Deep Heating Rub, you can't know how good its deep heating action can make you feel. As you massage it into painful areas, you feel its deep heating action. You know relief is on its way. Mentholatum Deep Heating Rub is an extra strong combination of active ingredients for safe, temporary relief of minor arthritic rheumatic pain. Use greaseless, stainless Mentholatum Deep Heating Rub often.
The body was taken to the morgue. Then Sergeant Gilbert, still sure that it was suicide, felt there was no reason to hold any of Mr. Briskin's beneficiaries and told them they could leave. Told me to forget the whole thing. Then he left us there.
And if you'll excuse me, I better get on down to the office. I'm afraid Frank's death is going to be quite a shock to some of the older employees who've been with him since he started the business.
Yes, Mr. Barber, maybe you'd better get rolling with some of those profitable new procedures that you were telling me about.
Huh?
Now that you've got Mr. Briskin out of your hair.
I've got him out of my hair. Are you implying, Mr. Dollar?
If the shoe fits.
I get a little tired of hearing Sergeant Gilbert say it, but you are a suspicious man.
All three of you swore it couldn't be suicide.
I know, but... excuse me. I must go.
You mind if I bum a ride with you?
No, Mike. Come along.
Right. And, brother, I'm going into town and tie on one that'll make history in this burg.
You would.
Trudy? Certainly no reason for you to stay around.
No, I'll be glad to get out of here.
If it's all right with you, Johnny, I'll drive Trudy on home, and you can take my car back to the office or the apartment if you like.
Sure, Larry, be glad to.
You've held up under this very well, darling.
Why not, dear? Johnny.
Yeah?
In spite of what that policeman and the doctor and those laboratory men said, do you think it was suicide?
You worried about the insurance money that won't be paid if it was?
Not Johnny.
Of course not, Johnny. And do you know why? Because compared to the rest of the estate, the insurance doesn't matter. I'll be perfectly content without it. But you didn't answer me. Suicide or murder?
Trudy?
Yes?
You know, that's a very good question. If motive alone were the answer, I'd surely say murder. But considering the circumstances, what little evidence there is...
Of course, Johnny, it has to have been suicide.
Because it'll save your company having to pay off?
Well, that is something to think about, you know. Come on, honey, I'll take you home. See you later, Johnny.
When the lovebirds drove away in Trudy's car, I took off in Larry's. Then I suddenly began to think about the route to his office. Something that he'd said about it earlier. Instead of going there, I drove to the morgue where Dr. Framler was finishing up his brief autopsy.
No, Mr. Dollar, I'm afraid it was suicide, all right.
Not even any bruises, anything like that, huh, Doctor?
Well, a slight one, yes.
Where?
On the forehead, at just about the point where the bullet entered.
All right, then.
But that could easily have been caused when he fell forward on the desk.
Maybe, but I'm betting it wasn't. I say that old man was struck on the forehead enough to knock him out. It wouldn't have taken much at his age.
Well, I know.
Then he was shot in the same spot. So the bullet and the muzzle blast would cover up that bruise. Now, you've got to admit that's possible, Doctor.
Possible, of course, but the police found only his own prints on that gun, although it may have been wiped clean quite recently.
Sure it was. Easiest thing in the world is to pick up a gun with somebody else's hand, somebody unconscious, and make it pull the trigger, and that's exactly what happened.
But who, Mr. Dollar?
On the way over here just now, I suddenly realized my apartment was nowhere near the route between his office and the Briscombe place, in spite of the fact that he'd said it was. That was just an excuse to pick me up so he could talk to me.
What, sir?
And that corny, real friendly bit right from the beginning. Call me Larry. Real palsy.
Larry?
Yes. And all that dope he gave me on the others. That would make any one of them suspect. Why? In case the job hadn't been done well enough, that it might look like the murder it really was? Of course.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
As for calling me in himself, that's the oldest gag in the world. As a cover-up to take away any possible suspicion from himself. And as for motive, he had all the motive in the world.
Mr. Dollar...
Look, Doc, if there's no real evidence to pin it on him... Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Maybe if I tear into him, act convincing enough, I can make him think there is.
No, Johnny, you're out of your mind.
As for motive, Larry, who had a better one? The girl, that fortune, even without the insurance, would be enough to keep a bright-eyed young opportunist wealthy for the rest of his life.
Now, listen.
Too bad, isn't it, that your lack of experience in crime tripped you up so easily?
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Don't I?
You're out of your mind. You're crazy.
Oh, not I, Larry.
You have no proof of anything like you're suggesting.
Haven't I?
No!
Didn't you know that your latent prints would show up on that gun even after carefully wiping it?
And I...
That your prints would show up on the back of old man Briscombe's hand just as clearly as they did on the arm of the chair you sat in there in the living room? That a simple comparison down at police headquarters...
My fingerprints on the back of his head...
That's right.
That's impossible.
Is it?
Yes, because of a pair of cotton gloves that I wore.
Cotton gloves, Larry? Like I said, Larry, you're a complete inexperience.
Hedge, Johnny, no.
Only the rankest amateur would have let himself be tripped up like that. And only the rottenest kind of insurance man would have tried a thing like that. Thank heaven there aren't very many of them. Expense account total? Wait a minute. Of course, there isn't any. And you know what? I'm glad there isn't. This kind I wouldn't want to collect on anyway. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Easy as one, two, three. You've made iced tea, and oh, what a beautiful flavor. New Instant Tenderleaf tea.
Instant Tenderleaf, cold water, lots of ice. You've got it made. Richer, brighter, livelier iced tea. 100% pure tea.
New Instant Tenderleaf tea.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, do you remember who the Lorelei were? Look it up, Then join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr., musical supervision by Ethel Huber. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were William Mason as Larry, Charita Bauer as Trudy, Raymond Edward Johnson as Barber, Ivor Francis as Doc, and Ralph Bell as the...
Danger with Granger.
He saw me. Let's find a policeman quickly. Hey, there.
Oh, what? I'm sorry. Oh, mister, please help me. I've got to get to a policeman.
And before we do anything, we better move into that doorway. Out of this rain. Come on.
But, mister.
Come on, come on. Now, what happened? Fight with the husband?
Oh, no, no. It's the man.
What?
He saw me. He's going to kill me.
What man? Where?
A big man. He was wearing a gray hat. He was right behind me.
Look, you're wrong, baby. There's nobody behind you. Take a look.
But I saw him, I tell you.
You were running towards me and nearly knocked me over. You may take my word for it, little lady, there was no one behind you.
But he was after me. I know he was.
Do you know this man in the gray hat?
No.
Then why would he chase you on a rainy night?
Because I saw him commit murder.
This is Steve Granger, private detective, with a story about a rainy night which was the setting for violent death, and which, just incidentally, almost had me labeled by my friends in the police department as nuts. In just a moment, I'll take you back to one of my most interesting cases. I took a good look at the young woman who'd bumped into me in the rain and found a blonde youngster in her early 20s dressed in nothing but a drenched summer dress which clung to her skin like a label to a perfume bottle.
Mister, please.
Now, where did you see this man in the gray hat commit murder?
From my apartment.
Now, what's your name?
Pat Benton.
Yeah. Oh,
please look back again. I'm sure he's following me.
Pat, there's no one else around. Come on. Let me take you home.
Oh, but I'm frightened. I can't go back there.
Look, baby, I'm Steve Granger, private detective. We'll see that you're safe. Then you can tell me the whole story. If it holds together, I'll call in the law. Now, is that a deal?
Well, yes.
Okay. Now, let's hurry. You're soaking wet. I went ahead of the girl and checked her apartment. It was empty. Then, while she changed into some dry clothes, I looked it over. It was typical of hundreds of New York apartments. One room, doubling for living and sleeping. A window that looked out over a fire escape and three lines of dingy laundry. The window opposite was dark.
Well, I feel better now, Mr. Granger.
Well, you'll look a little bit better, too. Now, suppose you tell me how you happened to witness a murder,
Well, it was just a little while ago. You see, when I've got nothing to do at night, I sit by the window and look out over the court.
You look into other tenants' windows?
Oh, it's a harmless diversion, and you'd be surprised what you see.
I can imagine. Go on.
My room was dark. I turned off my lights. There was a man in a chair by the window just opposite.
That one? The one that's dark?
Yeah. He was reading.
Mm.
Then he got up and went to the door and opened it. A man and a woman came in.
This was the man in the gray hat?
Yeah.
Can you describe the woman?
She was wearing a blue dress and a white stole. It looked like it was made out of linen or something.
You see her face?
No.
And they just walked in and killed this man. Is that it?
Oh, no. It wasn't like that at all. Mm. They seemed to be very good friends. The man had been sitting by the window, mixed some drinks, and as they talked, the woman sat opposite him.
Did it look like they were having an argument?
Oh, no. Suddenly, the man in the gray hat moved around to the back of the other man's chair. The woman looked up at him and nodded her head. That's when I saw the knife.
All right, go on.
He plunged it into the man's back. Mr. Granger, it was awful. I'd never seen anything like that before.
How did the killer happen to see you?
Well, I was leaning out of my window. The lights in the apartment up above were turned on, and they shone right down on me. I screamed, and the man in the gray hat looked across, and he saw me.
You sure about all this?
Of course. I moved away from the window. I went over and picked up the telephone.
You were going to call the police, is that it?
Yes, but there was a knock on the door. I had a terrible feeling it was the man in the gray hat. He knew I was a witness to what had taken place.
You didn't call?
I was afraid he'd hear me and break the door down. I waited. He tried the door. Then I heard scratching, like he was trying a key in the lock.
You keep saying he. How did you know it was a man?
After a few minutes had passed, I went over and opened my door. I saw him standing at the end of the hall. It was the man in the gray hat. He was waiting for me.
How'd you get out?
I went down the fire escape. Thought if I could find a policeman, he could arrest him.
Mm. Now, I'll just use your phone.
Are you calling the police?
But was there a dial tone on this phone when you tried it?
Yeah.
Well, it's dead now.
It's not working.
Nope.
It must be the man in the gray hat. He cut the lines.
There must be 50 telephones in this building, and your line would be pretty hard to find.
Well, what do we do?
Terminal box should be in the basement. Let's go down. See if your line's been disconnected.
But I'm afraid. He's come back. He knows I'm here. What do we do?
You get in the kitchen. I'll answer it.
All right, but I'm so frightened.
Don't make a sound. Yeah?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was looking for a young woman.
I'm sorry, there's no young woman here.
Yeah, I must have got the wrong apartment number.
What's the young woman's name?
It doesn't matter. I have her phone number. I'll call her and get the correct address. Good night.
Okay, he's gone.
Was it him? The man wearing the gray hat?
No, this was a heavyset fella, about 45. Had on a brown suit.
That's the man. Oh, Mr. Granger, I'm afraid.
Okay, lock the window. And when I leave, lock the door.
Oh, no, I'm afraid to stay here alone. I can't.
Okay, Miss Benton, then you better come along with me.
Dark down here.
Let me see. No terminal box on this side.
Mr. Granger. Don't you think you ought to call the police?
Just a minute, Pat. Well, here it is. We'll see if you line this cut or what happened. Hey, that light in the far corner. It's out. Stand still. Somebody down here with us.
Man in the gray hat. He's going to kill us. Stop that.
Can't see any better than we can. Now, don't make a sound.
He knows where we are. He's coming to us. Shh. I can't stand it anymore. Help, somebody. Help.
All right, you. Just one. I'd started after the mysterious stranger, but must have misjudged my distance and passed him because he clipped me right behind the ear. I did a slow, ungraceful swan dive and landed on my face. I'll continue with this interesting story in a minute. I came to in the basement of Pat Benton's apartment house. Groaning, I got to my feet and found the light switch. A dim glow flooded the basement with a bilious yellow light. Pat Benton had disappeared. This was the door to the girl's apartment. I listened at the panel, hoping for some sound. There was none. Inside, I flipped the light switch. There was no one there. I picked up the phone. The dial tone, which hadn't been there a little while before, was back. I dialed my friend, Lieutenant Jake Rankin, at police headquarters.
Rankin speaking.
Oh, this is Granger. I got something for you.
Why, thanks, Gumshoe. I haven't a thing to do down here. I'm just aching for some work, along with a ton of labor on my desk right now. Well, what's on your alleged mind?
I'm in the apartment of a girl named Pat Benton. It's 2479 West 44th Street.
Are you having a good time?
Something strange happening. I met her on the street. She claimed she saw a murder committed.
So?
I came back to investigate. Her telephone was out of order. We went out of the basement to check up. I got slugged. She disappeared.
So what do you want me to do? I'm in homicide, not the Missing Persons Bureau.
Get a John Doe warrant and drop around. I'd like to see the inside of a certain apartment.
Okay, so you went downstairs to check the telephone. You got hit. You woke up. The girl was gone.
She was sitting right here by this window. She claimed she saw a man stabbed by another man wearing a gray hat. There was a woman with him.
Where? Over in that apartment across the court?
Yes, bright eyes. How about dropping over and paying a visit? I notice there's a light now. It's been dark until just a few minutes ago.
Well, I don't know, Granger. Barging into apartments at this hour of the night... Hey, suppose the girl was a crackpot.
She was plenty frightened, but she wasn't a crackpot. Now, how about it?
All right, I'll go along with you. This once.
Now, this must be it. Let's see. This is funny. Name on the plate says Hannah Rosely. The Benton girl gave me the impression that a man lived in this apartment.
So what?
Let's take a chance anyway. With shots in the basement, you'd have a legitimate reason to ask questions.
Right.
Somebody's home, all right. I can hear him rustling around.
Who's there?
Police department.
Police? What's wrong?
I'm Lieutenant Rankin, ma'am. We got a report there'd been some shots fired in this building.
Shots?
Yes. Have you heard anything?
No, not a thing.
How long have you been home?
Well, I just got in a little while ago.
Hmm.
Would you like to come in and look around? In case you think I've been indulging in a little target practice.
Well, Miss Rosely,
Maybe we ought to, look down in that areaway, Lieutenant. Might spot something.
Yeah, you're right.
By all means, come in. Look all you like. You'll find I'm a very law-abiding person.
I'll just open this window for a second, miss.
See anything?
No, not a thing.
It's too dark.
Well, you finished?
Yeah?
Thank you, Miss Rosalie, and we're sorry about the intrusion.
Oh, don't mention it, Lieutenant.
Good night.
Night.
Granger, are you sure you're not dreaming all this up?
Nope.
Why the gag about the window?
Wanted to check the chairs the Benton girl told me about.
And?
It would be possible for a man to do exactly as she said. I used the window routine to check the chairs for bloodstains. There were none.
No, and I didn't see any dead bodies either.
They could have disposed of the body. Could have been hidden in a closet.
Granger, Hannah Rosie lives in that apartment, alone. Why would a man be sitting there?
There was a man there sometime tonight.
What?
The ashtray next to the chair where Pat Benton claimed she saw the man was loaded with ashes from a pipe.
Well, that doesn't mean a thing. She could have had a male visitor earlier.
Uh-huh.
Now, look, Gumshoe, I'm leaving this to you. Give me a description of the Benton girl. I'll turn at headquarters.
Okay. I got another idea, too. Got your car here?
Parked at the curb. Why?
Think we're being watched.
Where? Who?
The watcher wouldn't be that obvious.
Car's over there, by that fire hydrant.
I'll go with you. But drop me off at the next corner.
Coming back here?
What have I got to lose? I rode to the corner with the police lieutenant, got off, walked into a phone booth, and dialed a number. A minute later, I was talking to Cal Hendricks.
Hiya, Stevie. What's on your mind?
Cal, get out your thinking cap and do a take on a woman named Hannah Rosalie. She's about 35, red hair, 5'6" in heels, dresses well, sounds like a well-educated person.
Okay, you want me to check Hannah Rosalie. What else?
I'll be prowling an apartment building at 2479 or 2481 West 44th Street. If you come up with anything, call Rankin. I moved out of the drugstore from where I'd phoned the newspaper man and back towards 2481 West 44th, block away. Close to the building, I got a break. The man scurried out of 2479 and went next door to 2481, and I recognized him. It was the man who'd been looking for Pat Benton when I answered the door of her apartment. This was interesting. 2479 was Pat Benton's building. 2481 was the building in which Hannah Rosalie had her apartment. The one where Pat saw a murder committed. It looked to me that a tail for the man in the gray hat was in order. In just a minute, I'll bring you the climax of the case. When I saw the man who Pat Benton said was a murderer go into number 2481... I slipped into the courtyard between the two buildings and made use of the fire escape which led to Hannah Rosalie's window. I parked outside, feeling like the end man in a bad minstrel show. Peering underneath a drawn shade, I could see the man and could barely hear the voices.
They're gone.
Yeah, just as I said. The police officer took the other man with him in his car.
I recognize the other man. He's Steve Granger.
A private eye?
Yeah.
He doesn't know you.
Oh, no.
Well, we can't take a chance now. We'll have to dispose of the girl as well as Kelvin's body.
How?
They have Granger's revolver. I'll have a little surprise for him.
You're going to kill her?
With this gun. With his gun. The police will ask questions when they find her body. It'll divert suspicion.
But that's murder.
What we did to our friend was murder, too, my dear. I was very careful to carry Granger's gun in my handkerchief. The only prints will be his.
Very smart, Will.
Now, you go over to the girl's apartment. Pack her clothes in that old suitcase. I'll sink it in Long Island Sound after I dispose of her.
Where are you going now?
To get the car. Then I'll get the girl out of the basement.
Will, wait. Wouldn't it be better just to have the girl disappear?
Look, baby, I'll do it my way, and don't you ever forget that.
I'd heard enough. The spot where Pat Benton was being held prisoner. It took 2 minutes to get over to 2479 and down the steps to the cellar. I remembered seeing a doorway that led into a laundry room, probably filled with automatic washes and whatnot, and figured it as a logical place to hide the girl. This was the laundry room. Over in one corner, there was a pile of linens. Underneath, I looked into the frightened eyes of the Benton girl. Take it easy, Pat. I'll be out of here in 2 seconds. Your pal did a nice gag job on you. There you are. Let's get at those cords. Come on.
I was afraid he'd come back.
He's going to. But he'll be in for a disappointment. There you are. Can you stand? Come on, let me help you.
My legs, I can't move them.
Rub them as hard as you can. We haven't much time. You'll be here shortly.
How did you find me?
Never mind. Keep rubbing.
Oh, they sting.
Try walking. I'll help you. Come on.
I've had a foot go to sleep, but nothing like this.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hold it. It's your friend. I've got to find a place to hide. Over there behind the furnace. And move as softly as you can. Quick, and don't make a sound. Finds out you've gone, he'll look around the laundry room first. Is there a back way out of here?
Yes, over there. A door that leads up to the street.
Come on. Watch in back of us while I get this door open. You see anything?
He's still in the laundry room.
Good. Now hurry up. And if he sees us, you run while I distract him. Grab a taxi and go to police headquarters. Tell Lieutenant Rankin what's happened.
All right.
Go on ahead of me. Turn around.
He turned around. He's seen us.
Yeah. Right, come on. Let's move, girlie, fast.
Where? To the police?
No. First to my apartment.
Mr. Granger, don't you think the man in the gray hat might come over here to my apartment?
Uh-huh. That reminds me.
A gun?
That's right. This trip will take no chances. And I want to make a phone call. Hello, Cal. What'd you find out? Uh-huh. I see. Yeah. They did. Did you get a description of the man? Uh-huh. Yeah, this begins to add up. Sure, that's why one was killed. Yeah, thanks, Cal. You're a great help. Good night. No, I don't need another thing. See you tomorrow. It was Cal Hendricks, an old pal. He looked up your friends for me. I think I know why that man was killed.
Why?
Hannah Rosalie has been working around the country with two men. One is named Will Stanek. The other one's name is unknown. They were last seen in Chicago where they fleeced some widow out of her life savings.
But why was the one man killed?
Well, Stanek is the man who tied you up. He knifed his partner. Probably a disagreement about money. Or even a double cross.
Then the police can pick him up and we won't have to worry?
Yeah, except for one thing. What happened to the body of the man who was killed?
It wasn't found?
No. When Lieutenant Rankin learns the truth, I have an idea that Miss Rosalie will talk. I want you to help me.
How?
Ever see one of these before?
Why, no, I haven't.
Well, it's a blackjack. You hold it like this and apply it to the top of a person's head, right?
I've seen it done in the movies.
You know how to do it?
Well, I could try.
Okay, use it if you have to. And don't spare the muscle. Both of these people are killers, remember?
I know.
Mm-hmm. We've got to bring these characters out into the open.
That's the door. It'll be him.
Stand over there. Look natural. And put that blackjack out of sight.
All right.
Oh.
Mr. Granger.
Come in, Miss Rosalie.
Oh, there you are, Pat. I've been looking all over for you.
You stay away from me.
Oh, now, really, that's no way to talk to your cousin.
Mr. Granger, keep her away from me.
Would you mind explaining, Miss Rosalie?
Oh, Pat is my cousin. She's been having a little trouble. It's affected her mind.
Oh?
That's why we got apartments overlooking each other. I can keep an eye on her.
Mm-hmm.
You see, she keeps imagining that she sees murder. She tells people about them, and they're inclined to believe her, and... Well, it is very embarrassing.
I can imagine.
Oh, she's told you, of course.
She has, and I'm inclined to believe her, Miss Rosalie. Particularly when she mentions a stabbing in your place.
Oh, really, now? I'll just have to take her home if you don't mind.
I definitely do mind. Because your little gag won't work, Miss Rosalie.
I don't have to stand for this, you know.
Miss Rosalie, when you came to the door, you knew my name. Even though I wasn't introduced when Lieutenant Rankin and I were at your place earlier.
But
nothing. I perched on your fire escape. I heard you and Will Stanek talking about this girl.
That's what...
Yes, that's what happened. And you and your partner guessed it. That's why you're here, pretending to be her cousin. You want to get her out of here, so he can kill her.
I'm leaving.
No, you're not. You're staying. There's a certain police lieutenant who wants to chat with you, baby.
Look,
Just stand still, Mr. Granger.
It's the man in the gray hat.
Yes, my dear. You gave me quite a chase.
You're a smart character, Stanek. You got in here and hid in the kitchen, right?
Right. And before you make the mistake of reaching for that gun, I'll take it. Here we are.
Wow. Nice little party I'm having tonight. Even if two of the guests are uninvited.
Quiet. Hannah, get the girl out of here. My car is around the corner on the side street. Now hurry.
You're quite an organizer, Stanek.
Go on, Hannah, hurry. Have you a gun?
Yeah.
Good. If she makes any noise or tries to attract attention, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Please, Granger, no moving around. I don't trust you.
Thanks. I didn't think you would.
You won't be long, Will.
Not more than a few moments. Drive around the front. The police don't know my car.
Very well. Come on, Miss Banton.
Mr. Granger.
Go with her, baby. Well, this makes it just you and me, Stanek.
Yeah, and I haven't got much time. Would you stand over there?
Yeah. I'd be glad to.
Let go.
You wouldn't shoot. And you know it,
wouldn't I?
I don't think so. Now for Hannah Rosalie. Okay, Miss Rosalie, up with it. Hey, what goes?
I think you'll find that Miss Rosalie is indisposed, Mr. Granger.
What?
The blackjack, you know. As you suggested, I hit her over the head.
Well, friends, that's the story. I'll be back to wrap up the case in just a minute.
Home on.
About the time we got Hannah Rosalie and Will Stanek tied up, Lieutenant Rankin showed. Indications were that both of them would go up on murder raps for the killing of their unnamed partner. Rankin phoned for transportation, after which we went downstairs once more.
Just want to see in what name this car is registered.
I think you'll find it quite legal, Lieutenant.
Oh, you do, do you? I guess you're right. It belongs to Will Stanek, all right. You know, Granger, you did a good job.
Oh, I better thank Miss Benton here. She did most of the work, including the spotting of the murder.
Holy smoke! I forgot.
Forgot what?
The body. We haven't got a corpus delicti.
We haven't? Well, just come with me, Lieutenant. There you are, Lieutenant. In the trunk compartment.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
But, Lieutenant, that's what I always thought you were. Steve Granger again. You've just heard one of the most interesting cases in my files. And I'll have another one for you. So be around next time.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed our shows this time. You can find more from Johnny Dollar, Danger with Granger, past episodes of Case Closed, all the other podcasts, thousands of old-time radio shows to listen to, all at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there as well, and as I mentioned, you can donate to the website through the website. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.